You may not have known or even thought much about Pope Leo XIV, but over the past couple of weeks, I have a feeling that's really changed. Knowing of someone, by the way, doesn't equate with knowing about someone, considering how Pope Leo XIV has revealed himself to be really unafraid to speak out about matters like the war in Iran, people who are proponents of warfare against peace. Pope has brought even greater attention to himself by both Catholics as well as non-Catholics. That makes my first guest's new book very timely indeed. He's examined the life of Robert Francis Prevost, his path to becoming Pope Leo XIV, and what lies ahead for not just the papacy, but the Catholic Church as well. His book is American Pontiff, Pope Leo XIV and His Plan to Heal the Church. On being a best-selling author, he's professor of political science at Grove City College, executive director of their Center for Vision and Values, as well as editor of the American Spectator. Dr. Paul Kangaroo, how are you today, doctor?
Good, Chris. Good to be with you. Thanks.
Well, congratulations on, if nothing else with the book, the best timing you could have possibly had with American Pontiff. And to find out more about the American Spectator, spectator.org and Grove City College, gcc.edu. One would expect a pope worthy of attention of authors and having their story told, and certainly the first American pope adds to that worthiness. Was that really the beginning and end of your interest in doing this book, or did you, as you did your initial research, find there's a lot more to Pope Leo than just being pope and being the first American pope?
Yeah, well, the answer to all of that is a yes, for sure. But I must say, when I was asked to do this book by the publisher, at that point, Chris, they approached me, I guess it was the day after the death of Pope Francis, and they said, would you like to do a book on the next pope? And I said, yeah, sure. Hey, sounds good. You know, I have time. I've done a lot of work on John Paul II. And I said, hey, added plus, I know I speak Italian, and next pope's going to be an Italian.
Whoops.
Then when he's picked, yeah, it's just an absolute shocker that he was an American. It was unbelievable. I mean, no one ever thought that that would happen. You know, the Pope was supposed to be Italian for 455 consecutive years. The Pope was Italian until John Paul II, and then Cardinal Ratzinger, Benedict XVI, and even Pope Francis was actually ethnically Italian, even though he grew up in Argentina. So, but the idea of an American, completely shocking, totally unexpected. And the first year of his papacy, I think, went pretty much as I expected, bringing kind of normalcy and stability back to the papacy. But that's all really blown up now in the last few weeks, especially with the battle with Donald Trump. And you know, Donald, I know a lot of people who are Trump supporters. They don't want me to defend Pope Leo, but I got to tell you, man, never ever in the history of the presidency or the papacy did a president ever cut loose, uncork with a statement like Donald Trump did on Truth Social to Leo. And I know people will say, well, that's because he's getting involved in the war. No. He did what pretty much every pope has done since World War I, Benedict XV, John Paul II with the Iraq War, you know, basically called for peace, laying down arms, that kind of thing. And what really seemed to set Donald Trump off was when Leo XIV said that Trump's statement threatening the entire extinction of a civilization. He says, I hope it won't happen, but it probably will. You know, tonight, 8 o'clock, Tuesday night, that was a week or two ago, and the Pope finally spoke out directly. Didn't mention Trump by name, but said statements like that are morally unacceptable, which, frankly, the Pope should speak out on a statement like that. And that really did it for Donald Trump. I mean, yeah. Trump doesn't respond well to any criticism. And so he blew up on the Pope and called the Pope a liberal, which by the way, is not. He's more conservative than Donald Trump. And as I show in the book, he's also a Republican. But so now we're watching this crazy battle between, you know, the head of the largest group of Christians in the world and the American Pope and the American president.
It's always said that who we are, who we find ourselves to be in our early years, determines who we're going to be in our later years. Is that true with Pope Leo?
Yeah, for sure. And his whole life, I mean, he was always a very devout Catholic, of course, not a surprise. But quite interesting, Chris, is that people that grew up with him were really struck by his piety. And there were kids in the school who called him Holy, like it was like a nickname for him. Hey, there's Holy. And they said, but they did not mean it in a negative way, like a mocking way. They said he was very pious, very devout, but also very kind and very sincere and charitable. And they all liked him. And there were even little old ladies down the street, a couple of them. His brother, one of his brothers talked about this, who said, yeah, that young man is going to be Pope someday. Which is an amazing thing, especially given, again, that he's an American. But that's the kind of background that he's had. And it was long, up through his years at Villanova, went to Villanova. At Villanova, he started the pro-life group in the late 1970s, marched in the March for Life, one of the first marches for life, and remained really consistent on all these moral, cultural, religious issues all the way through today, 2026.
Talking with Dr. Paul Kengor, his new book, American Pontiff, Pope Leo XIV and His Plan to Heal the Church. He's also editor of the American Spectator, spectator.org, that website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. With the activities that you just described, and you go in further detail in American Pontiff, talk about Pope Leo's rise through the ranks, I guess we'd say. Was he easily noticed? Did he work to get noticed, or he was just gifted with getting noticed?
Yeah, he didn't work to get noticed at all. He was picked cardinal by Pope Francis in late 2023. And then he had this kind of just meteoric rise up through the Curia, the governing body of the church, where he was getting appointed to all these different positions because of his kind of, just workmanlike steadiness. He had a reputation as this quiet person who just knew how to get things done. And so by the time that the so-called papabile, the popable candidates, were being considered by media and people around the world, April and May of 2025, and he was rarely, if ever, on any of those lists, and if he was, he was way down the list. People around the world didn't know who he was, but all the cardinals knew who he was. So we might have been surprised by him being picked, but the Cardinals certainly weren't. In the first round of balloting, there were 25 votes, is what we've learned, for Cardinal Erdo, the conservative from Hungary, 24 for Cardinal Parolin from Italy, who was considered the front runner, and wow, lo and behold, out of nowhere, seemingly, 25 for Robert Francis Prevost. Yeah. And by only the fourth round of balloting, it was very far quicker than everybody thought. He got 108 out of 133 votes from cardinal electors. You only need 89. So he ended up quickly winning in a landslide. He was the consensus candidate among the cardinals.
As the voting goes on, do you go out and get the vote, or do you have your supporters either step aside from who they were supporting? Or is the vote given to you? What's the procedure as far as, does a possible pope get to state their case and campaign, or do you have to hope that others believe in them and follow suit and bring the vote to them?
Well, in his case, he wasn't campaigning for it at all. I mean, some of the other guys clearly were. In fact, there were reports that Cardinal Parolin was lobbying for the job. Prevost was not at all. And so I think that that's something else that appealed to the other cardinals, the fact that this was somebody who didn't look like he wanted the job, right? He wasn't campaigning for it. And they would prefer somebody, who's, not seeking the power of the papacy, right? They would prefer a more reluctant, humble pope. And that's certainly what they got in this guy.
Although maybe this is superficial on my part, but for him to speak out the way he did, or speak back at Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, by the way, and to do it in English instead of the, I don't know if it's the official language of the Vatican, but to do it in Italian instead, was that very telling as far as who Pope Leo is and is going to be?
Well, I think so. And also, in all those pleas for peace that he made and prayer vigils, he never mentioned Trump by name. And really, to this day, the only time that he did was after that Trump tirade on Truth Social. And then at that point, the Pope was flying to Algeria And the reporters on the airplane repeatedly pressed him about what Donald Trump had written. And you know, including the fact that Trump claimed that Leo was picked because of him, right?
Yeah, God.
Amazing thing. Amazing thing. Amazing thing. And at that point, Leo the 14th said, I don't fear the Trump administration. And then he said, I don't want to get into a debate with him, him being a reference to Donald Trump. He said, I'm not a politician. Now, Trump in his Truth Social thing said, the Pope's behaving like a politician. And Leo said, you know, I'm not a politician. I'm not interested in political debates. You know, I'm just, you know, preaching the gospel according to Christ, right? Calling for peace. And I would remind people that this was very much the position of Pope John Paul II against George W. Bush with the war in Iraq in 2003. And needless to say, you know, Bush didn't go on a tirade against the Pope because of that. And no, you know, no one does that kind of thing except for Donald Trump. And I know people listening probably think, boy, this guy's got Trump derangement syndrome. I voted for Donald Trump. And I generally support the idea of, you know, disarming Iran, although I don't know where this is going, and I'm pretty nervous about it. But what Trump did there to Leo is unprecedented.
Especially if you're going to question someone's presentation of theology when the idea of peace is one of the predominant content items of the Bible, both in the Old and New Testament.
Right, right. And why I've never had a problem with any of the Leo statements about the war with Iran right now is, look, I mean, popes just pray for peace. It's just what they do, right?
Well,
what do you expect the Pope to do?
It was his first word when he came out on the balcony. Peace.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
How much more plain and clear?
Right. La pace sia con tutti voi. Peace be with all of you. And you're not going to expect the Pope to come out on Easter Sunday and make an Augustinian just ad bellum case for just war argument for Donald Trump's intervention in Iran. He's not going to do that, dude. He's just not going to do that.
When the
Pope prays for peace, just let the Pope pray for peace. Who cares, man? Not everyone in the world has to agree with you.
No.
It's okay.
It's a faith, not a cult. And I think you know which side I'm talking about. But
yeah, exactly.
As far as, like I said back in the introduction, knowing of and knowing about two different things, and what Dr. Kangor's book is going to do is help you know about Pope Leo XIV, the American Pontiff Pope Leo XIV, and his plan to heal the church. You can find it in your favorite means of getting a book online. If you're one of those weird people who still go to actual bookstores, you can get it there as well. Learn more about the American Spectator, spectator.org. Dr. Paul Kangor, thank you for bringing us the understanding of someone who I just have an instinct feeling is going to be a quite significant person in the at least immediate years to come. Thanks for being here today.
I think you're right, Chris. Thanks a lot. Good to be with you.